Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm nearing the end of my third week of teaching on David, and I have this brand new book entitled Lessons from David, as well as a new expanded teaching on DVD and CDs. They're actually taken from these television programs and we put it into DVDs and CDs and then this book. And I encourage you to get this because the things that we're sharing are just profound truths from the life of David. You know, the Lord didn't hold back. He shared all of the warts, blemishes, everything that David had. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it was for our example so that we could learn through David. We don't have to learn everything on our own. And we've already shared some tremendous things. Yesterday I was talking about how David honored Saul, the very man who was the previous king, who was trying to kill him, who had taken David's wife and out of just nothing but meanness and hatred gave her to another man to be his wife. And I mean, Saul was just a bad dude doing all of these terrible things to David, and yet David fell down on his face and honored him and said, "I'll never come out against you." Now think about this. He could have justified it on the basis of vengeance, self-defense, just taking over a kingdom. That was the way it was done, and yet he honored this man who was dealing him so much misery. I tell you, if you could learn at David's expense and see how God promoted David in a way that Saul was never promoted, and when David messed up and he deserved the judgment of God, instead of getting judgment, he got mercy because he had shown mercy. Because he had honored Saul, David was honored, even when David made serious, serious mistakes. I tell you, there's a great lesson in this, and it's just amazing to me how many people don't see this. You know, again, in my life, I have lived this the best I can. I'm not saying I've done it well, but I have not taken out vengeance. I haven't fought back at people that have done me bad things. And every single time, I mean every single time, over a period of time, sometimes it takes a while, but every single time, God has defended me. God has promoted me. I have come out smelling like a rose when there is no reason for it to happen other than the fact that God will take care of you better than you would take care of yourself. I've actually told people before that if you go and defend yourself, then God won't defend you. You have to let God be the one who defends you, that promotes you and things like this. And if you will do that, God can take care of it much, much better than you can. Another thing I want to point out about David is right before he became king, he actually got driven from the land of Israel because Saul was just pursuing him so hard that he finally said, "I'm going to perish if I stay in the land of Israel." So he actually had to go to the Philistines. And he was living among them, and all of the Philistines marshaled themselves together to come and fight against Israel. And David actually took his man. It says here in the 29th chapter of 1 Samuel that David was going to go fight with Israel. To me, that doesn't look like that was appropriate. And I don't know if David was just acting like he was going to do this to keep up the, you know, the guys that he had going. For instance, with Achish one time, he was staying with Achish, the king of Gath. And this is, you know, where Goliath was from and all of his brothers. And so David was the one that had killed their champion. And David and his men, there was about 600 of his men, and they were literally living in the very place where Goliath was from. Everybody knew about David, and they had heard these songs about Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And because of this, the king of Gath began to start eyeing David like, you know, is this guy here? What's his purpose? And he began to question him. And David had to actually act like he was insane. And he let the spit drip down off of his beard and he started scribbling on the wall. And, you know, I've read some commentaries that they, similar to like American Indians, I've heard this for sure about American Indians, but they said back in these days that when a person was crazy, They believed it was a totally demonic thing, and that if you did anything to them, that those demons would come into you. So they just gave lunatics a wide berth and would basically let you do whatever. Well, in order to get out of this situation, David actually acted like he was crazy and began to start acting crazy. And he wasn't. He did that just to save his life and the life of the men that were with him. I personally believe that in 1 Samuel chapter 29, where it looked like he was going to go fight against his own people, the Jews, I personally don't believe he would have, because he was anointed to be the king, and I don't think it would have happened. I think he was doing something similar with what he did with Achish when he acted like he was crazy. But anyway, my point is that after they got back, the Philistines rejected him. And they said David could use this as an opportunity to turn on the Philistines, destroy them, help win the battle for Israel, and reconcile himself to Saul by doing this. And so the lords of the Philistines would not let David and his men go to battle. And so as they came back to their city of Ziklag that they had been given, it turned out that the Amalekites had invaded the country. They knew that all of the Philistines had marshaled their forces. They were going to war with Israel, and the Amalekites took advantage of it, and they came into Ziklag, the city that David and his 600 men lived in, and they just burnt the whole thing. They took every single woman and child hostage, and they had escaped, and they were headed back to their own land. And so here in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and in verse 3 it says, "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." You know, that's an amazing passage of Scripture. I imagine most of you have probably experienced this sometime in your life, that something so tragic happened that you wept, and then finally you just can't weep anymore. I've done that. And this is expressing their great grief that they've had. And then in verse 5 it says, "And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." So here's David, and again, I've mentioned this earlier, but he was approximately 17 years old when Samuel came and anointed him to be king in 1 Samuel chapter 16. It was over in 2 Samuel where David actually became king. And it says in 2 Samuel chapter 5 that he was 30 years old when that happened. So if he was 17 when he was anointed to be king, that means this is 13 years later. This is the instance just a day or two before he became king. So this is approximately 13 years that David had been anointed to be king. He had been persecuted, being tried to be killed. He had been surrounded. He had had his wife taken from him. He had just had problem after problem after problem. He had to literally flee his own country and live with the enemy in a foreign country. And then on top of everything else, when they came back, it turns out that the Amalekites had burnt his city. He lost every possession that he had, all of his wives, all of his children, and all of his men, all of these guys. They had just lost everything. I wished I had more time and better words to put this into its proper context. But if you could just think about this, I mean, it was devastating. It was worse than what any of you watching this program have experienced. And I know some of you might argue and say, "Oh, that's not so." But if you were the person who had been operating in integrity, you could have killed your enemy, you could have ended this thing, and yet you had just been faithful, faithful, faithful. It had drug on for 13 years. And instead of getting better, it just kept getting worse. And now he had lost everything. And on top of his own personal loss of losing his wives and his own children and all of his possessions that he had gathered in this foreign land, now the guys that were his army were speaking of killing him and blaming him as if it was his fault that all of this had happened. I mean, that's just adding injury or insult to injury. And David was in a bad place. He had already wept until he couldn't weep anymore, and here was his own guys turning upon him. Did you know that most people wouldn't have lasted 13 years. And if perchance they had lasted for 13 years through all Saul had tried to do to them, now his own guys, the guys that he had been responsible for, he had gotten food for them, he had kept them going, he had to go to this enemy, he solicited Achish and he gave him this city of Ziklag. David had made all of these provisions for these guys, and how did they repay him? They blamed him for all of their troubles. And David could have just quit right here. But you know, now we know, based on Scripture, he was less than 24 or a maximum of 48 hours away from seeing his dreams fulfilled. If he would have quit and given up, which he was tempted to do, it says he cried and wept until he had no more power to weep. If he would have given up right here, we wouldn't have heard about David. He wouldn't have become king. He could have just given up. His men dispersed. He could have let them kill him, saying, what's the use? What's the point in living? Boy, there's a great lesson in this. And I guarantee you, every one of us is going to be pushed to a place to where it looks like, why even try anymore? Let's just give up. You know, as Job's wife said to him, why do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. Just let's get this over. And Job said, man, you speak as one of the foolish women. That is not the right thing to do. David, in this terrible situation, which I don't have the words to describe how bad it was, but it was bad. And it says, the very last phrase of verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Boy, this is powerful. God has used this to speak to me. This has spoken to me. I couldn't tell you how many times. I've been in situations where in the natural, it looks like you ought to just quit. You ought to just, when are you going to admit that you're beat? When are you going to say, I'm defeated? When are you going to just quit? I have referred to this passage of Scripture, and David was in a worse place than I've ever been in, and yet he was able to encourage himself in the Lord. Very few people are able to do this, or very few people do it. They depend upon somebody else. They're always calling somebody else, praying that God will send somebody else to them. Somebody will do something, and they're always looking for help from some other source. But we have to get to where we encourage ourselves in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, there's a lot of things. Right here in the very next verse, it says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. The ephod was this breastplate that the priest wore, and there were stones on it that represented all of the children of Israel, and they would inquire, and somehow or another, these stones, somehow or another, would give an answer. God could communicate through this. I don't understand it completely, but what this would be comparable to in our day and time would be the Word of God. God has given us the Word, and this is how He speaks to us. And so David started inquiring of the Lord. He started going to the Lord, and what he did, he took the Word of God, and he began to encourage himself. Man, there's many times that I've done this exact same thing. When everything in the natural you look at is bad, I just go to the Word and I start remembering the promises that God gave me. And I encourage myself in the Lord. Also, another benefit that I think a lot of Christians do not take advantage of, the Scripture says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, that whosoever speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. The word edify means to build up. It also says in Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's talking about speaking in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you are building yourself up on your most holy faith. Now, I know there's a lot of people watching this program that don't understand that. And you think, well, what does speaking in tongues have to do with anything? Most people look at that as just total gibberish. It doesn't mean anything. I can't believe that speaking in tongues would make a difference. One of the very reasons that speaking in tongues is so powerful is because it doesn't make sense to your natural mind. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that when you speak in tongues, other people will say that you're foolish and they'll criticize you. It does not make sense to your natural mind. And this is one of the reasons it's so powerful. Because if you speak in tongues and do it more than just, you know, one phrase, one sentence, just something to kind of let off a little steam, but if you speak in tongues deliberately for 20, 30 minutes, an hour at a time, you do something like that, you have to deal with your thoughts that this is just crazy. I don't understand what I'm saying. What is the point of this? It's useless. Why do this? If you continue to speak in tongues over a prolonged period of time, it forces you to get into your most holy faith. It doesn't make sense to your mind. It says 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." You don't know what you're saying when you're speaking in tongues. And because of that, there is this tendency to just sit there and shut it down and not do it, because what's the benefit? It takes faith to believe that, just like it says right here in verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14, 2, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." And in verse 4, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." And so when you speak in tongues, you are edifying, building up yourself, promoting spiritual growth. In order to pray in tongues over a prolonged period of time, you have to move into faith. If you continue to think thoughts like, "I don't understand this, this is silly, this is foolish," you'll quit. If you continue to speak in tongues over a prolonged period of time, you edify yourself, you promote spiritual growth. You build up yourselves on your most holy faith. And so I say all of those things to say that for the New Testament believer, when you're in a situation like David was, where it just looks like, man, you might as well quit and give up, it's over, you can sit there and pray in tongues and build yourself up. And I tell you, this is a resource that a lot of Christians don't use. There's a large number of Christians that don't even believe in speaking in tongues and think that this passed away with the apostles, it's not for us. I've had many people criticize me and say that I'm of the devil because I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. But it's in the Bible. Paul talked about it. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the next to last verse, it says, "Forbid not to speak in tongues." And there's a lot of people that just don't let what the Bible says get in the way of what they believe. They forbid it and they say it's of the devil. But I'm telling you, it's of God. And even people who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit many times don't use it. You know, I have a minister's conference every year, and one year I just taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit to ministers, people who already had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just took different scriptures, like in Isaiah chapter 28, that this is the rest, this is the refreshing, speaking in tongues, that it causes rest and it causes refreshing. I talked about how you build yourself up, how the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And I just took all of the different things that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues will do. And I preached that to people who already had that experience. Matter of fact, they were ministers. And I was saying that, man, the Holy Spirit has equipped us to deal with whatever life has to throw at us. Whatever criticism, whatever problems we run into, the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. He always makes us to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. And on and on, I took all of these scriptures. And did you know I had a bunch of ministers come up to me after that and say, "You know what? I just wasn't using what God has given me." And every one of them had a testimony that sometime in the past they had drawn on the power of the Holy Spirit and had just gotten supernatural strength and help out of it. And yet there are many Spirit-filled people that will just allow themselves to go into depression and sit there and feel like, "God, I need something. Would you please send someone my way?" I'm not denying the fact that God can use other people. I believe that God is using me right now to speak to some of you. Some of you have been praying and saying, "God, what do I do? Here's help coming your way." God will use people. But ultimately, you need to be like David, to where you can encourage yourself in the Lord. And in the New Testament, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is one of the most important things that you could possibly do. You know, I know that there's people watching this program right now that this is new to you. Some of you have never even heard of this baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I've got a lot of material on it. That's not what I'm teaching on today, but that's kind of where it's led to. If you don't know about that, you could call the number that you see on your screen. We've got people that can pray with you. They can send you materials. They can answer your questions. They could pray with you and you could receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues today. We see thousands and thousands of people do that. And I mean, they call back in and talk about what a difference it's made in their life. There's some of you that maybe you have heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you've been told that this is wrong and it's not for us today. Again, our people on the phones can answer those questions and they can send you materials that will help. But I'm just trying to get across, whether you understand it or not, whether you agree with me or not, I'm telling you that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest things that God has ever given to the body of Christ. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't limited to speaking in tongues, but it includes speaking in tongues. And I'm telling you, if you don't speak in tongues, it's like charging hell with a water pistol, a dry water pistol. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Man, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is powerful. It is different than your salvation experience. Even if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit is involved in that. No man can come unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. I think that's John 6, 44. But there's a difference in having the Holy Spirit with you and drawing you and leading you and speaking to you and having the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you. My own personal experience is that, man, I was born again when I was 8 years old, but I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 18 years old. And I mean, it was like daylight and dark. My life changed. You not only receive this power, but you also just get a revelation. God starts speaking to you. It's like your understanding opens up. The Word of God will become brand new to you. You'll have a different attitude. You know, the spies, when they went out to check out the land, the Lord says, "I'm going to preserve Caleb and Joshua," because they had another spirit with them. And when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like you get another spirit with you. Everything looks different. The grass is greener. Everything is different. I'm telling you, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't have time on today's program to explain this fully, but it's my testimony that as far as outward things, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues changed me more than being born again. Now, I'm not diminishing being born again. It's essential, and that's the first step. You've got to have it. But as far as outward, as far as releasing what I received at salvation, the greatest thing that has ever made a difference in my life is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I do it regularly. I've spoken in tongues today. Yesterday, I spent hours praying in tongues. It's important. You need this. If you don't have it, I tell you, you are hampered in encouraging yourself in the Lord. But God has given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which includes speaking in tongues. And you can encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm out of time today, but again, tomorrow I'm going to be talking about David and learning some more things through his life. So I encourage you to listen in. Also, listen to our announcer as he shares with you about how you can get these materials on Lessons from David. And please call or write today, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue to teach on Lessons from David.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Lessons from David is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. It's also available in a brand new companion study guide that's perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only is the entire teaching included in the study guide, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CD. This valuable resource is available for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get Lessons from David on either CD or DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is titled The School of Hard Knocks. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of April, he'll be in Chicago, Illinois. In May, he'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Telford, England, and in Wiesbaden, Germany. And in June, he'll be in Nice, France, and in Woodland Park for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
The ministry of Andrew Womack and Charis Bible College work hand in hand to provide a place where believers can apply God's Word and witness miraculous results.
What we've discovered is that so much of the church today does not believe that it is God's will to heal, or they believe that sometimes God can heal, but they never really know when that time is.
A big part of what we do at Healing School, what we're really passionate about, is training up believers that they can do the works and greater works of Jesus, that it's nothing special, that we're not the super dupers.
So we wanted to provide an atmosphere for people to be able to come and jump into the Word of God and find out what God's Word really says about healing. A lot of people come seeking a healing, but when they get their eyes on the healer and get that priority straightened out, it's like seeking first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. It's amazing what begins to happen in terms of a heart priority when people begin to seek the Lord first.
That's why it's a school of healing, because our students are learning to be ministers. It's Jesus that's in them that heals people. They too can heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons. We see people receive their healing online through watching the live feed, through watching the archives. Man, that just blows me away. I mean, the anointing's there. Our heart is for our students not to just keep what they've learned through the healing school training in healing school, but to take it out on the streets. They see awesome healings.
It's the students who have been trained and raised up as disciples, which has been Andrew's heart for all these years.
To learn more about healing school, go to charisbiblecollege.org and click on the Healing School tab. The Healing School is another example of how the media ministry of Andrew Womack and the campus ministry of Charis Bible College work hand in hand. Together, they provide a place where believers can apply God's Word and witness miraculous results. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College. Changing lives, changing the world.
Bring the whole family and join Andrew and Jamie this summer for the Summer Family Bible Conference in Woodland Park, Colorado. For the first time ever, the conference will meet in the new sanctuary, June 30th through July 4th, vacation in Colorado, and celebrate the 4th of July with us. For more information, visit www.awmi.net.